meeting, and then we'll get going. All right, let's roll. Thanks everybody for showing up. Don't know, I have really not much a good feel for how long this will last. A lot will depend on what kind of good conversation we have near the end of the meeting on the agenda. So with that, we'll just get going. So here's what topics I want to cover today. Of course, go over maybe the last time we'll talk about HPSS evacuation, update on campaign storage and scratch usage, usual, and an update on the augmentation for campaign storage. And then I think hopefully we'll have a good conversation about campaign storage and scratch usage, particularly on derecho and the NWSC after Cheyenne's gone. Let's see. Okay. So as of today, we've got only 23 days left until HPSS is decommissioned. Been a long time coming, it feels like. I'll be glad when it's over with, and I bet you guys will be glad to hear me stop talking about it or getting the notices in daily bulletins and stuff. So I think we're in pretty good shape still. Very few requests for HPSS access to be restored for those the users that had gotten cut off. We had one user about a week or so ago wanted extra bandwidth, more concurrent tasks allowed so she could get some data off, and that's going well. Gary's been busy, looks like here of late, getting stuff off. So no complaints or cries of stop, we have to keep it going. So it still will be cut off on October 1st, and we'll move on. And of course, interrupt me with any questions you might have along the way here. So on campaign storage utilization, I think it's going pretty well. You can see the usage graphs. I don't know, hopefully you can see my cursor on here. You notice this kind of some sharp discontinuities here in the charts, in the trends, but in early August, Joey found an issue with the way he was calculating some numbers and adjusted for that. So the number of petabytes, you see a pretty sharp increase in that, fairly modest increase or significant noticeable increase in the number of files. I don't know what to make of that, the number of petabytes allocated. I don't know if that was just another adjustment that Joey made or not. If we look at the petabytes used here, I'm going to guess that this nice trend line that we had from starting in January up through early August, I'm going to guess that that could have been easily, was supposed to have just been shifted up. It just looks pretty consistent with the trend we're seeing since then. So again, we're in good shape for now. And got to rely on all of you to let me know or Sizzle know if everyone is, it has enough, or if you're running into any squeeze on the amount of space you've got. Yeah, okay, thanks, Gary. I just saw your note about HPSS, I assume, so that's good. Hopefully most everyone else is too. Let's see, and I'm gonna ask you to kind of keep, we can refer back to them, of course, but when we get into the conversation here in a few minutes, try and keep these numbers, these trends in mind. Scratch is consistently inconsistent, as you can see. It's, you know, getting a lot of good usage, but we're in very good shape. This is on, of course, Glade's scratch space today. We've got good room, and I don't think anybody is concerned that we're going to have any issues before Glade is decommissioned, probably in late next year. Not sure what's happened to the time frame on that, given derecho's delay. So maybe we should, I didn't think to mention that, HPE is being very non-committal right now, but as we've mentioned before, the delivery of derecho has been impacted by the worldwide shortage in semiconductors in the supply chain there. It hasn't gotten any better as of late. So we're still waiting for something a little bit more definitive from HPE and the contract to be revised to account for the delay. And we'll do our best to keep all users apprised as the information firms up and we know more. So, all right. If there aren't any questions about anything I've covered so far, I'll move on. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about?
Maybe I have just a simple question.
Sure, Davide.
So Glade is Spectrascale, so it's IBM, right?
It's a file system.
I don't know the hardware.
Yes, GPFS. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the question is, maybe for Cheyenne, it's the same vendor. You know, it's all HPE, so we can get an extension of support or something. But how about Glade? Say that if the ratio is delayed for a longer time, is there an option to have a more, not having our contract for Glade expire? Is that into the talk with somebody? I don't know. Maybe it's a question for Irfan more than you, but.
Well, it's a great question. And yes, Irfan is actively pursuing that with DDN for contingencies, right? In case that the maintenance needs to be extended. And at this point, it probably will. That's to some degree, but we don't know how much yet. But that stone is not being left unturned. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Good question. Anybody else? Okay. So then, getting into what, like I mentioned in the email today. I'm sorry, Nick, there is one last thing I did want to talk about, the campaign storage augmentation. I've mentioned before a couple of times that, about the funding was approved and the delivery was expected last month. And those all, went as planned. The hardware has been delivered and is up at NWSC. Mostly Joey is working on the, along with other help from Bill, the HSG team is working to get it configured and get the software stacks updated so that it can successfully be deployed. A couple of gotchas along the way, of course, but nothing that seems to suggest that anything will be delayed. And we still expect the new hardware and the extra capacity to be available sometime this fall. And again, as I mentioned before, that it's going to increase the campaign storage capacity to about 90 petabytes is what we expect. And lab allocations will be increased. Dave Hart will be in charge of that. But I was disabused of the notion that all of that 25 petabytes will be allocated. Dave is going to keep some in reserve for later. How much, I don't know. He hasn't decided yet. He's still working the numbers and wants to put a finer pencil on that. So I apologize if I misled for misleading or given false information in previous meetings. There will be an increase, but it won't be by the full 25 petabytes when the system gets expanded in a couple of months. So, that's really all I have to say on that. Should have more firm information, of course, this time next month. So, since we met back in August, there's been some conversation going on with Sizzl and some of the user communities about some users about campaign storage and Scratch usage on when Derecho comes online and particularly after Glade is decommissioned. So just kind of wanted to toss out some reminders of things that we've talked about before and some pieces of information that we can use for what I hope is a good conversation that follows. And then I've got a slide after that, after this, with some questions. So we're currently, as the graph you could see, I didn't have the numbers, these particular numbers on there, but we're at about 73% of current capacity of campaign storage, which amounts to about 80% of the allocated, what's been allocated. What we haven't talked about before, and it wasn't clear, it wasn't really well known to me or to some other folks until just a few weeks ago, that campaign storage is not going to continue to grow indefinitely and infinitely, right? We've been operating on a pretty good clip here since it came online of adding like 20 petabytes of the clip once or twice a year for the last 3 years. But Irfan let me know that the capacity will start plateauing sometime in 22-23, and it'll depending on the current technologies and capacities, that's going to be in the area of about 120 petabytes. And at that point, older disks will start being retired when new disks start coming on. And hence the ceiling or the plateau of around what we think right now will be about 120 petabytes. And then today, Glade Scratch, it's been 15 petabytes since Glade 2 came online. We're at about a healthy 80% of that is being used. If you look back, we can flip back to the graph I showed a few minutes ago. And the current 120-day purge. Now, campaign storage and the new Scratch, I maybe should have made that a little more clear. And the new Scratch that'll come with NWSC3 will be mounted on both Casper and Derecho, unlike Scratch today, which campaign storage is not mounted on Cheyenne, but it will be available from Derecho. And I know that there's been some talk here in this meeting that the many of you expect campaign storage usage to maybe even take off, maybe in a hockey stick kind of trend once that comes online on Derecho. And to remind you that NWSC3 Scratch space will be 60 petabytes. So rough, pretty much four times what we currently enjoy today. The current plan is to have a 180-day purge policy, or approximately a half a year. So I'll go so far as to call it a concern in that we wanted to address is and please don't laugh at the question about why is campaign storage so popular. It's think of it rhetorical. And will do you believe that camping storage will continue to be generally favored over scratch space? Why is that? Is it simply a matter of purge policies that we have in place? Is there something else? Is there something Sizzle can or should do to encourage scratch usage on derecho and take advantage of that large and rather expensive space that'll be available? Would the users benefit from project-based scratch space in addition to, not in lieu of, but in addition to personal scratch space, personal user space? And are there any other questions that I'm not thinking to ask? So with that, I'm going to shut up and let you and listen to what you guys have to say. Nothing?
Well, there are a couple of folks with Ray's hand.
Okay, I'm going to, I can't see those.
Well, Gary was the first, so
I don't. Okay, thanks. Okay, Gary, can you go then?
Well, yes. Why is CS popular? Because it's not purge.
Well, that's was pretty much my guess. But
right, because purging makes you think about tedious details like how much space am I using, where is it, what files are they, what data is that, and people would much rather think about big picture things and not worry about the tedious details. So that's why campaign storage is popular. Now, my concern is that since we're using campaign storage as a replacement for HPSS, which is part of its intent, my concern is that campaign storage, once derecho comes online, campaign storage will fill up promptly because people don't want to have to worry about, oh, is this model run going to get purged or what? And if campaign storage fills up, that's bad because that would cause lots of things to crash and burn. So my feeling is that, you know, Goofy needs to be hardened and made more reliable. So it's much more usable for monitoring campaign storage and Glade storage usage. My old habit of getting like recursive listings and analyzing them doesn't work when you're approaching millions to, you know, millions and millions of files. So I think, I mean, Goofy is a great tool, but it just needs to be hardened and expanded so that it can be used more effectively and more efficiently by us data managers so that we can, you know, monitor and check these things or monitor and check these spaces before they fill up.
Okay. So let me interject here with a comment that BJ made on the chat, which also was on my mind. And it was also somewhat skimped, but, you know, in the previous slide, that campaign storage is not not technically purged, but it's has a 5-year retention policy because, you know, Mick, if you go back to the previous slide, when you said that the campaign storage will plateau at 120 petabytes, that's because we have been buying about, as Mick said, 20 to 25 petabytes, maybe a couple of times per year, but each of those purchases has a 5-year lifetime. So starting in 2023, we'll start retiring the first batch of disks with the data on it. So that data will go away effectively as being a 5-year purge period. Now, I'm not sure, as Gary said, that we have all the tools in place, Goofy and everything, to make sure people understand that, but we'll certainly need to start doing that after HPSS is gone. And so we have a little more free cycles to think about some other decommissionings. There will be the decommissionings of those disks. So I understand Gary's idea of, you know, and that's actually was my also of purging. I mean, with that, with in the trajectory we are on at the moment, there is no option, because that's the way it is. I mean, we could potentially say that. I mean, I'm not saying that this is what we are gonna do. I think it's possible, but I don't think we will. That to make the NWSC3 scratch not purged, which means that your everybody, not just your everybody, quota will be much less, because we can provide those generous quotas only because of the purge, because since data is constantly deleted, the average user is not at their capacity. However, if we don't constantly delete, then everybody fills their quota, and so we cannot overallocate. And so that means that even with a 4-time increase in capacity, if we don't do the purge, everybody's quota will be, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I would guess, you know, half or maybe a quarter what you have now on Cheyenne.
Yeah, I want to clarify some things too, that Sizzle is carefully reviewing, considering and reviewing that stated 5-year purge policy for campaign storage, that it's not universally endorsed by some of us. Let's say that. Personally, I feel it'll be very dangerous for Sizzle to get into the business of purging data after 5 years that's on campaign storage. We'll be creating holes in people's data in their projects. And so I wouldn't, we still have some time to get our arms around this, but it's my my personal preference would be that users take care of their own data, remove data that they don't need to keep their keep themselves under their, they and their projects underneath their allocations. We'll see how that plays out. But as Davide was saying, eventually the older disks are going to age off and will have to be replaced just for the integrity of the system, and replaced with newer ones, higher capacity. We don't have a good scheme in place yet. We don't have a policy in place on how that's going to look or be implemented. It's partially in large part why I wanted to start this conversation in earnest now. We've talked about it before in the past, but we're looking for advice from you all on issues like that. And I don't want to get too far down the campaign storage trail here without getting back to the question of what can we do collectively, Sizzle and you all and the users, to make scratch space, this large luster space, more attractive or better utilized. Now it isn't even online yet, so it's hard to, probably not fair to me for me to call that better utilized, but we don't want everything just going into campaign storage and then scratch sitting more idle than more largely unused. So Gary, can you elaborate a little bit on the what you posted in the chat here?
Well, what I'm saying there is, present this information saying, okay, here are our options with Scratch and campaign storage on Casper and DirectShip. If you want unpurged Scratch, then each person gets, I don't know, 5 terabytes, and that's fixed. That's all that you get, and there won't be any more coming. So if you need 20, you got to figure out something else. Now, if you want, you know, if you want 20 terabytes or 50 or 100 terabytes, you know, burst type usage, then we got to have the ability to purge scratch. You know, if you lay out 2 or 3 options, I think you'll probably get a pretty good idea of what users actually want.
Good. And just not leave it open like I've done.
Yeah, don't leave it wide open. Yeah. And the other issue is, I don't know how in the world you can keep people from using unpurged campaign storage instead of purged scratch, when all they have to do is put a, you know, change a pointer in their code to write to campaign storage instead of scratch. And there's no way you can avoid that.
Well, I don't want to, I'm sorry if I left the impression that we're looking for to get, not for, for people not to use campaign storage. I mean, that's what it's there for, right? So I might have, my words probably could have been chosen a little bit more carefully. So so Matthias and DeGarth have had their hands up for a while. Let's go over it. Matthias, I think you were first.
Yeah, I mean, I think one problem is in our accounting system, we charge for computing time, but at least to the user, storage always appears free, and that always pushes people into the model compute once and store everything. And since there is a substantial cost with all the storage we have here, I mean, it might be worthwhile discussing whether there should be a dual accounting system, which where you basically, you are being charged also for the data you store. And so people have to make the decision, you know, if I store less, I can actually compute more. I mean, are there any discussions in that direction, if that would make sense?
I think it makes sense. I've been arguing that since I came to NCAR, actually. I find it a little maybe odd that given that storage is becoming so valuable and such a precious commodity, but there's no accounting for it outside of the quota system, right? So you've got to support with me, Matthias, on that.
Well, yeah. We have discussed this option with Dave several times, but I don't know why we never committed on going in that direction for real, other than actually, you know, proof of concept discussions. One reason might be that it's kind of a hard to actually calculate that, you know, doing an actual allocation in that in practice with the group that does all these kind of counts. You know, it's easy to say, well, core hours, you measure that core hours and you're done, versus, you know, terabyte day, then you have to do every day. Check how much file, how many files you have, how much they use, and it's more complicated to measure. That might be the reason, but I agree that would be more desirable. I mean, in my opinion, in the situation that we are headed now, it would be even better if we just get, well, compute is totally free and only storage is paid, but I'm probably going too far now. So I'm sure this conversation will happen again with the management while the new system will be here. But we'll let you know what happens. But I don't think it is something that will happen in the ratio time.
Okay. All right, Garth. Sorry for having you wait so long.
That's fine. You knew I couldn't stay quiet the whole time. So, you know, my understanding was that the campaign storage purge was off the table entirely because you can't Swiss cheese stuff. So I'd like some confirmation on that before we probably go any further, because that's a non-starter, I think, for everybody doing work with campaign storage.
And that is what's a non-starter?
A purge policy on campaign. I mean, you're going to, if you Swiss cheese data sets, community data sets, other data. Anyway, I thought that it sounded from this meeting like that was back on the table, and I was pretty sure that had been taken off at some point. So I just love some clarification if you guys have to go back and meet to make sure that's either it's not going to happen or we bring it back up and discuss the reasons why it's probably a really horrible idea for that to happen.
I promise I'll take that back and express how horrible an idea most of us think that is. Okay. I can't promise what policy is going to be put in place. The reason that it's still even out there in the ether is that when campaign storage first came online, that was the stated purpose of it, right? That it was supposed to be for data that was on project timescales, publication timescales, which was estimated to be about 5 years. Well, I think many of us recognize that campaign storage is it's not used like that. Its usage has expanded beyond that original intent. So I know Pam, before she left, was strongly arguing against the policy, and she convinced me like right away. Yeah, I mean, it like you said, you can't Swiss cheese a project like that. Now, however, the usage can't continue to grow at the pace it has without some discipline or user intervention, maybe, I guess. And this is my opinion, right? That eventually data is going to have to be removed by users because we will just run out of space, right?
Yeah, and I think that it's, you know, if we're going to use it as a HPSS replacement or long-term data storage for data sets that have historical significance, let's say, that go beyond 5 years for people looking back in time to analyze, you know, previous model output or what have you, which is a pretty common use case, at least for AECOM, then, you know, you need to probably default to the same sort of situation we have in project space. Is you tell everybody what they're using, the big users have to do something about it. And, you know, to Gary's point, then Goofy has to, it would be great if that's like, hey, this data is this old, you have so much of it you haven't touched in this long. And, you know, obviously there's this sort of administrative overhead attached to that, but mm-hmm. I think that's probably much better than the alternative, which is, oh, whoops, that's just gone, but not all of it, only certain files. And we can't really tell you which ones. So,
yeah.
So that, I guess that's the number one point there. And I know, well, we can further discuss that, but I would love some clarity to make sure that we're not going to do that, or we need to make different plans for our long-term holdings on data for things that can't be removed, community data sets, reference sets that haven't been tagged properly so that they survive forever. And, you know, there's a big risk to that.
Mm.
The other, you know, obviously we're going to run out of space on CampAge storage most likely when you open it up. One of the things we discussed before was the scratch space and making it very easy for those big users or easier to request temporary increases to the amount of scratch space that they have so that they could, say, get their 100 terabytes and run their model and do, you know, their analysis within 6 months. I think that's totally reasonable. And there's a training aspect to that, of course, to make sure users kind of follow along with that. But I think if people had that ability to increase their current allotment, then you'd probably be able to get many more to use it. It is faster, right? Is that part of the Lustre file system faster?
I would have to defer to the folks who know much more about that than I do.
Is Sid here? I think Sid knows for sure. My understanding is that it is faster, but the expert on that is Sid. So
it's not in any significant way, Garth.
Okay.
The part of the reason we are trying to encourage Lustre Scratch is because of its size. It's a huge one. We have paid for it. The reason we chose to be that big is we wanted the performance. So the performance and capacity go hand in hand, as you know. So that's pretty much the context of thinking from the sizzle side, that we fear once we give both of these resources to users, less likely that scratching will be used.
Go ahead, David.
I was asking a clarification to from Sid about the performance. When you say it's more performant, you mean as an aggregated performance, but the single stream performance, which is what the user might see, is the same, more or less.
That's precisely the point. So practically, for every user, it will be practically the same. So that's why we can't make performance argument to use Scratch. It is just the capacity part. We may force users to use less of campaign or more of Scratch by restricting their quota onto campaign storage. But then it's, obviously there is a limit. So far you can go along that.
Okay. Well, and in that case, you know, there is, you know, then I guess the sales pitch is that you won't be continually hassled by data managers like myself if you're using too much space, because you will, you'll have an auto purge on the Scratch space. But yeah, you know, you're probably going to run out of all the space, really. I mean, that's just the nature of what we do here. So it's just a matter of time. So the ultimate point was really, well, okay, what do you do when that happens? And what's the contingency plan for when that does happen? And of course, you bring up the great point. When you replace disks, where does that data go to? Where's the staging area? Do you have one? If there isn't, yikes, then you need to hold back some capacity to make sure that's a possibility. But I think we need to start planning for the eventuality that everything fills up. And once campaign storage is pretty full, then hey, you know what? Scratch space is going to be used even more. But you know, people are going to just change the directory name in their output, and then that's it. And it's going to do the hockey stick thing. I don't know the future, but the future looks like a probable hockey stick.
Yeah. So Garth, and this is really, I got, I guess, two questions or a question and a point to make. First of all, let's remember that we're just having a conversation here, right? And we're trying to get some guidance and information from you all to help guide our policies, you know, help shape our policies. So the last thing I think any of us need is for a word to come out of this meeting saying CISL's going to start purging campaign storage. That would be, as far as I'm concerned, nothing can be further from the truth until further, unless we come back with some specific information otherwise. So please don't, leak that or start having that kind of a conversation with your users. That's what I would ask of you. And then I need a clarification from you, Garth, about making it easier to get extensions to Scratch space quotas. Do users think it's difficult now? Or is it an onerous process?
I don't know how onerous. I've never actually requested. I don't know if there's a great awareness, but you're looking at ways that you might want to, if it's awareness issue, but you're looking at ways that you can somehow reduce the pressure on campaign storage. And one of those things would be, well, I'm going to have 100 terabytes output. I don't need to save it forever. But if my quota is only 15, you know, or whatever it turns out to be, then I have no other place to put this but on campaign storage, right? So project space goes away. So
I utilize the extra Scratch space a lot. I'm creating a lot of data that I'm moving around, and it has not been difficult to get extra Scratch space and to also extend it. It has not, so far, it has not been a difficult process.
Well, that's,
I think that historically, and I think still is it like that in our documentation for that historical reason, we have not advertised that because in the past we didn't have so much opportunity to increase it as we have at the moment. So, you know, it's a word of mouth or people that say, well, let me ask and see what happens. But I don't think it's on our documentation that, you know, you can request that. So maybe that's something we need to adjust and change.
And that would be my recommendation, is if you want some, what can Sizzle do to encourage derecho scratch space? We'll advertise that you can get more than the basic allotment. And I think you'll get a lot more users to not just dump into campaign storage and then forget about it forever.
Okay. All right. I see, BJ was with us. I think he's gone now. I see BJ. BJ, do you know if, I don't recall if we have anything in our documentation today or have had about, if you need more space, simply contact us.
I couldn't put my finger on it, but I think we probably do mention that somewhere, probably in the GLADE documentation. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure there's a link in there in the service desk for a ticket, maybe specifically requesting an increase. Don't hold me to that, but I think it's there. I mean, we haven't gone out of our way to emphasize it, encourage people to, request it, just randomly or anything, but it's there. People know they can do it.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe I was thinking more like an introduction to derecho, right? Where you tell people what the intended purpose is for each of the storage spaces that are there, or something on those lines, so that you reiterate the, hey, this is how we'd like to see you use it, so we don't run out, and this is what happens if we do, and, here's how to be a good, this is a good opportunity perhaps to give out that information, a learning opportunity for our users that, have to be more data conscious going forward. There's no other option here.
That sounds like a fine idea to me. I'm not sure who it was directed at, but when campaign storage initially came out, that was this thing about the 5-year retention period was discussed and included in some of those training things. It's not a popular idea, but that's one reason I asked about it earlier, is because someone mentioned, I think Gary mentioned that campaign storage isn't purged, and that conflicted precisely with something I knew we had in our documentation. So I want to get that clarified also. Sorry, yeah, I'll stop now.
Yeah, thanks, BJ. No, if that's still, we want our documentation to be as accurate as possible, obviously, right? And because it could, if it's incorrect, it could lead users to practices. So we'll check into that, and I will promise that by on or before our next meeting next month, that we'll do our best. Sid, Davide, and I will do our best to get a firm answer on this whole 5-year business on campaign storage data. Okay. So let's just keep this amongst us ourselves, this conversation now. I'm pretty confident that that's not going to happen, that we're not going to be purging data just because it hit a 5-year from create date limit. But I've been wrong before, but I'd pretty much stake my reputation on that. What little reputation. Yeah.
I figured that was coming. Yeah. One last thing, and that's Doug's comment in the chat, and it's a huge resource to be able to take advantage of the RDA and whatever when you're trying to put in, or you have a community data set and you need to push that off somewhere that won't be purged and has, DAP access and all those sorts of things. So that's a huge resource that probably also might need to be spread around, or, what warrants, what is a community reference data set? How many people have to use it? Does your data qualify for these things? These are all resources that we have available that could help reduce the push on campaign storage, as long as people know that they are options. And, it would be another educational opportunity, I think, to tell people, hey, we have the RDA or these other options, which are also, and this is what they're intended for. With all these storage options changing, it would be very helpful to have pointers to, okay, this is what we'd like you to use it for. This is what qualifies for inclusion. Not an easy process, I know, but you know, I think there's going to be a lot of confusion with, well, where should we put stuff? Campaign storage is just an empty storage space. Well, yes and no. Again, right? So there's an opportunity here, I think, just to clarify what Sizzle would like to see, and you know, make sure everybody can be a good data steward.
Yeah. And Doug, thanks for your post there. I think that's was very timely. Appreciate it. So in terms of, again, I don't want to keep harping on the five-year thing, but remember that campaign storage first came online, if I remember correctly, in the summer of 2018. So we're still pretty much 2 years away from the oldest data sets on there, even coming at risk. So there's certainly no cause for panic or alarm at this point. Just wanted to throw that out there. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, let's get past HPSS first. No kidding. Dick Vallant is going to buy a nice bottle of champagne when that's done on October 1st. So, anything else that, we're kind of coming up on an hour, and I think it's been a pretty good conversation here. Does anybody else have anything they want to contribute here, or any comments you want to make now before, while we're all still here?
Hey, Mick, one last thing. The last question, sure. Or not the last question, but the user community project-based scratch spaces. I know in the past in these meetings, there have been those people that wanted better, easier access to sharing. Sometimes the setting up the permissions for campaign storage is perhaps a little more difficult than it would be on just a standard storage space like Scratch. And so, you know, I think, yes, project-based scratch spaces could be a win for those projects that do need a lot of collaboration and maybe more space temporarily to get something done without having to manage it through the groups and people DB or what have you. So I think that's a really good idea to explore, and maybe just on a case-by-case basis, because I imagine this would be a time-limited thing from time to time for a particular project, but that sounds like a good way to try and reduce the pressure on campaign storage as well.
Okay. This is kind of a new idea that we just has come up since we all got together last month. And I think in the past, we were, because of limitations with GPFS and rather more limited on the available space, right? 15 petabytes for, several thousand users. I think there was a concern about trying to serve two masters, if you will. Well, with this large, I know it probably won't seem large 5 years from now when it's starting to age off, but with a 60 petabyte Lustre file system, I think we may have opportunities to carve out parallel systems or universes here, right? One for users and one for project. Maybe they won't be equal size, but I think there's a lot of possibilities that could be explored and put on the table here. So to me, it sounds like a good idea, like for the reasons you just listed, Garth. Give everybody another minute or so to stew or think about, contemplate here, ponder. And if there isn't anything else, we'll wrap things up. Okay, thanks, Gary. Some of you have been pretty quiet today. That's okay. All right, I'll thank everybody again for showing up today. We've got some Sid, BJ, Davide, and I have some action items to work on before we get back together again. If it seems appropriate, I'll communicate those with you through email, and look for these slides and the recording of this meeting on the wiki. I'll let you know when that's out there as well. So thanks, everybody. Have a good rest of your day, and take care.
Bye.
See you.